Live from Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, let's kick it off. Unintended. Pun intended. Adam Hill is here. Circa Las Vegas, we're here both Thursday and Wednesday. Talking to a bunch of the players today, coaches.
Is that how days work?
I know, it's weird.
Thursday and Wednesday?
We're here Thursdays, and now we're here on a Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, I know. Just trying to flip the script a little bit. You have been covering lots of events this week. We're going to find out where in the world Adam Hill has been the last couple of days, and I don't mean in a bad way. I want to find out all the juicy nuggets you got around Team USA. I know you've been covering that, and today you're working on a bunch of stories here at Mountain West Conference Media Day. We got 3 hours on the way. We're going to talk to Ricky White later this hour. We've got Jackson Woodard. Both all Mountain West Conference. Who was the Offensive Player of the Year by the Mountain West Conference? Preseason Offensive Player of the Year?
Wasn't it Genty?
It's a good choice.
I think I could be wrong because okay. I voted Ricky White.
Yeah.
But I thought Genty. I'm not sure. I'm just saying that.
I have been here all day. I didn't even get a chance to check all the list yet because we've been doing interviews. So we'll have a bunch of those interviews posted up at lvsportsnetwork.com and also up on our video page on YouTube. We'll be tweeting stuff out. So a lot of good conversations today. And I got to tell you, by the way, Mateo's here with the setup and Griffin's back on the board. I got to tell you, there's a completely different vibe. Maybe it's just me. Maybe there is no different vibe. But UNLV was voted second in the preseason poll. And having conversations about UNLV with other schools and other players, you're like, hey, you had a really tough time against UNLV, didn't you? Go. I mean, that's not the way I presented it, but, you know, I was talking to the Hawaii guys. I'm like, you know, I got a defensive player sitting in front of me, and I'm like, 307 on the ground. How was that? What are you going to do? Again, I don't present it like that, but you didn't do that in the past.
Challenged. By the way, it was Ashton Genty as the offensive player.
He's pretty good.
Good player.
Do we have confirmation? Is he here? He's not allowed in the building.
He's at Golden Gate. Wait,
he's over at Golden Gate.
He's not allowed in the building.
He's not 21.
Oh,
that was
right.
The whole thing about being at Golden Gate.
I thought they were just trying to spread the wealth of the Derek Stevens properties.
Now, the Boise people, as they will do, and I like a lot of them, you know, they made sure to mention it 50,000 times that he wasn't allowed.
Why don't you just bring a player that's 21?
Well, he's one of the best players in the league. But we talked about it. Boy, I didn't realize this. I thought you and I were mean about kids. Greg Salerno hates them.
Well, just look at Greg. You can just tell.
He's very gross. Like, I brought up the story that, hey, Genty's not allowed to be at media days. And I was like, hey, if the trade-off is one college football player gets kind of screwed out of a media day, but every other day here is kids free, I'm sorry. Someone's got to make the sacrifice. Sorry, Ashton.
Yeah, I feel like.
And Salerno went off.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want him around. I don't want. Not Genty.
I think he was talking about Genty.
No, he wasn't.
Salerno looks like the kind of guy, you know, on the famous Seinfeld episode where George was at a kid's birthday party and there was somebody screamed fire. And so he starts just knocking the kids over as he runs to the door. Salerno would do that. But there's not even a fire. He just knocked the kids over.
So Boise voted one in the preseason poll. UNLV 2 got four first-place votes. Fresno.
Did you vote?
No.
I did.
I mean, do you want to reveal it now, or can we do like a lengthy tease? 5 o'clock hour, Adam will reveal where he chose the UNLV Rebels. Is he objective? He went to the school. Is he objective?
I had him number two.
You did?
Yeah. We don't have to. It's not a big reveal.
Yeah.
Picked him second.
There's some talent here, man.
I did pick
Ricky
White.
I started sizing the other teams up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Picked Ricky White as the offensive player of the year.
Okay.
He did not win.
Well, we have we're going to have to hit him hard. Have to hit him real hard on college football. EA coming out. It's going to be a lot of people who aren't happy.
Sure.
And a lot of people who are thrilled.
More that aren't happy.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Even if you're a 99, you're probably not happy.
I think you and I, if they had like a radio host game and it was a 1 to 100 and they gave us both like a 22 and a 24, we'd be like, yeah.
That's about right.
About right.
Well,
or if they gave us, like, if we got like an 85, you'd be like, I mean, no, stop.
Yeah.
That's too high for me.
Well, I would be, I think, like you, deferential in terms of, like, yeah, I should probably be pretty low. But the cap would be, like 99% of other hosts should be very, very low.
Oh, we'd be totally into critiquing other people. Maybe that's, not publicly. Be like, what?
Yeah.
That person.
Yeah, he stinks. He sucks. He's awful.
Oh, I mean, truth is, we are like football players, not conditioning or really anyway. You were a dancing bear, but you were kind of afraid on the football field. Most players, no matter what happens in the game, are like, I sucked. That wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And that is us walking away from every show. You know, I have to admit it. Greg Salerno, who's been mixing in a lot as a company, I like him post-show. He apologizes after every show. Every show. He's like, I was terrible.
I feel like that's the right attitude to have, because like makes you strive to get better.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a friend who did radio with us for a long time. I'm just going to mention his name. I love Ryan McKinnell. I think he's a lifetime company member, but it always used to drive you nuts because five minutes after the show.
Absolutely. Not even 5 minutes. It infuriated me. We would be like, all right, thank you, however you would sign off the show. And as soon as you would say, like, you know, talk to you tomorrow, and then he would just take off the headphones and be like, I crushed it again today. And you're like, what? Who has this added? Who believes this much in themselves?
Winners.
Literally, I don't know if that's the case. Literally every day, no matter what, and I'm talking about in radio, every time I file a story, anytime I do an interview, anything, I walk away saying, that sucked, I'm terrible, why do they allow me to have this job? Everything I do.
So why not just go a different route like McKinnell and be happy?
You could. I mean, maybe that's a better way.
I think that is the key to life.
Sure.
I think for you, you need to think you suck to then drive yourself.
Of course.
The next hour, the next day.
I think that's what drives. I think that's how most people are driven.
No. Most.
Maybe not.
First of all, I'm not even sure most people walk away from their job and even go that I have a good or bad day.
Even think about it. They don't care. Just like,
it's just a job.
It's over. I'm going home now.
I had someone, I will not name the person. I had a radio host walk up earlier and pay me a compliment. He's like, man, you still really care.
Still?
And I was like, yeah, why wouldn't you?
Is he suggesting
he's like, I do the show.
Even at this advanced age, you really care?
I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, I'm not offended by it.
That's fair.
At all.
I think that's accurate.
Boy, I'm so excited to get into Mountain West Conference football.
The
Giants' hard knocks last night, so I may be as excited as I've ever been to recap a hard knocks. I love so many things about it. And then here's the thing, and you watch wide receivers, so we'll get a report on that later in the show. The thing is, I watch Giants episode 2, and I'm watching the way the GM operates and the coach and other coaches and football talk, and then we get here, and it's like, football, 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 football. I'm like, ah! Here we go.
But I love that. I do love it. I know we'll get into it, so I don't want to give away too much of what we're going to talk about. But I love that one of the texts I received was just anger at how one of the coaches didn't handle spicy food well. And you're like, all right, we're really going to start breaking this down.
Well, you talk about this. I don't like Indianapolis. You love it.
Love
it. You guys always talk about this, the steak place. And then Q Myers was out there for the combine, and they keep forcing him to eat the spicy shrimp. He can't do it. He's not a spicy guy.
Neither am I, but I still love it.
And then I watched. Actually, it was a female staffer on the show not be able to handle it, and I wrote kind of a – I didn't write a very complimentary term.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have called her the name, but
– It's not the name you're thinking.
Handle it. Handle it.
But you – like, one of your big takeaways from the show was just, like, need to do better at handling the spicy shrimp. Like, okay.
I was like, eat the shrimp. Fake it!
It's the hardcore breakdown.
Fake it! This could affect job, not performance, but opportunities down the road. People could see that and go, yeah, they can't handle the spicy shrimp.
Would you rather?
We love Indianapolis in the combine. Now we can't bring them.
But the real question, though, if you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, do you rather the person who orders it? Because it's what's done. It's what's famous about the restaurant. Yeah. Not only their incredible steaks, but also their very spicy cocktail sauce that goes on the shrimp. Do you want the person that just tries to fight through it and handle it and doesn't handle it well? Or the one guy who is like, I'll take it without the sauce.
Don't start.
Which one's better? I think the person that tries to gut their way through it.
Yes, the second one.
Yeah.
That's mocking for life.
Of course.
Special order.
Yeah.
When it's a staple of a restaurant.
Get it without the sauce. The sauce is what everybody talks about.
Yep. God, I'm jacked up. You know what? The other thing is, I always try to equate radio, and I think people are like, "Dude, your job's easy. Stop talking like you're a football team or the." I'm watching The Bear, and I know you're not into the show,
no.
But the restaurant culture There's a scene in there where someone in the restaurant, the main server or whatever, like maitre d', I don't know what they're called, but the main person comes back and they're like, yeah, they want this dish without the mushrooms. And the bear is the main guy is like, no. And they always fight, and the person's like, they don't like mushrooms. The chef's like, then they don't get the dish. There's no special orders. The dish works with this. Like, tell them to push the mushrooms aside. No.
You would have been infuriated, by the way, last night. My aunt is in town, and I went to dinner with my aunt and my mom last night.
Don't do this to me.
And,
is your mom listening right now?
Probably.
Because you set me up, and then I badmouth your family, and then they're like, what?
No, it's not about them. It's about me.
Okay.
Because it's talking about the orders. So, obviously, it was an Italian spot. I got just a chicken breast with, like, mushroom on it. That's what reminded me of it.
Yeah.
Very good. It's a really good spot. A very famous spot here in town. And I said, instead of the side of pasta, can I just get, like, broccoli? It's a vegetable, broccoli, whatever you guys have.
I get it.
And the lady was like, oh, absolutely, of course, yeah. And so they brought it out, and it was the chicken and the pasta. And I was like,
you think the chef just said no?
Well, I think she just forgot to tell him.
Oh.
But I'm sitting there like, okay.
And you took it, didn't you?
So I eat the whole chicken, and I just leave the pasta untouched. She comes over like three times. My mom was like, are you going to say something? And I was like, my hope is that she'll notice at some point.
Yep, this is Adam.
Like, at some point, she'll be like, oh, yeah, you wanted broccoli, not the... So I was like, I'm just going to... Does it, and like three, four, five times she comes back. Finally, she's bringing the check, and she goes, oh. She's like, you wanted broccoli, didn't you? And I was like, yeah. She's like, sorry about that. Just picks up the plate. And I was like, okay, I guess that's how we're going to do this.
Why do you do that?
I was hoping at some point she would be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll bring you the broccoli.
Don't hope, Kat.
Oh, you would think at some point.
No.
At some point they would notice.
I've been running a story by everyone on the show. I don't think I've run this one by you. And this isn't my story. I don't know if you saw some of the rumors on Klay Thompson and leaving and the relationship with Golden State. Did I ever tell you this one? That Steph Curry, there are people who say Steph Curry would have stepped up for Klay Thompson and told management, give him his money. And Klay Thompson told Steph Curry, don't do it.
Yeah.
They should know to do it.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, I'm supporting.
So now he broke up the relationship to prove a point. I'll fix your wagon. I'm going to Dallas.
I'm supportive.
For less money.
Supportive of my guy, Klay
Thompson. I know
you
are, because that's what you would do.
Of course. Of course I would.
Don't fight for me. They should do the right thing. That server should know the broccoli. She should pick up on it.
Should. And she did eventually.
But the meal was over.
Didn't do anything to fix it.
Why didn't you get it to go?
I was perfectly willing to.
Didn't even offer it.
She was just like, oh, that sucks. Picks up the broccoli. I was like, all right, I guess that's how we're handling it.
All right. We're going to go break on this one. It's going to be a hard break. Because I already know what happened. Who was in charge of the check?
Not me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you know if there was a penalty on the tip?
I doubt it.
Because I know what you would do.
I would give an extra tip.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Circa Las Vegas.
So much to get to today. Team USA tonight. Adam's been around those guys. I guess the heat was too much for most of the players, huh? Steph Curry. He's the good guy. We'll get into that. Cooper Flagg is the best player in the world. But I saw three plays.
Yeah.
So Adam will give us the update on that one. But, folks, I'm not even going to apologize. I'm just going to tell you, for new listeners, it's happening again. It's happening again. And now... They're doing it to us in the middle of July.
Yep.
If you don't watch Hard Knocks and you don't watch it pretty quickly, we're going to ruin it for you. And if you don't like the show, don't listen to us. I'm willing to risk that. Seriously,
I mean,
you got
it's fair.
You have to watch
well,
it.
Let's watch it.
It's going to help your life. You're gonna have a better attitude when you go to the workplace. And you know what? You're gonna stick up for yourself, and you're gonna speak clearly. And if you need to be confrontational, you will be confrontational. You're not going to get bullied. I need to get this organized. This is a whole speech I need to make. I'm telling you, I came in here today. Like, we started opening of the show, and we're, like, in a very empty area. And we're getting pretty loud, right? And I swear, I was thinking to myself, if someone comes over and tells me to be quiet, I'm throwing hands.
What if it's one of the Air Force guys? They're pretty intimidating.
I would get my ass kicked. Yeah, it's a good point. They were. Can you imagine if they turned around and are like, shh. Like,
I would lay out the argument a different way.
USA, in
of,
USA.
In terms of if you should watch Hard Knocks and listen to the show. I feel like if you don't enjoy Hard Knocks or watch Hard Knocks, you probably wouldn't like the show anyway.
That's a good point. It's a very aggro show. It might be too much for you.
No, I'm saying you wouldn't like our show if you don't like Hard Knocks or watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we operate. Yeah. We really dial it up for these. Now it's going to be 2 months of this. Okay. I'm going to give a. By the way, I'm going to take you behind the curtain. I'm doing that later on.
You
are? Actually, that's how I'm going to open
gonna
tomorrow.
Let you?
Do you know what they're doing?
Yeah, it's like the still images and like the quick video shots for the, for
right.
the broadcast.
So are they flexing in or are they going out with
they're
their arms?
A little bit of both. And right. then if you randomly, if you are listening and you hear a scream in the background, that's not we don't have like hostages.
Yeah,
that we're right next to the room where they're doing all the promo shots for the season. So each Mountain West player takes they're doing a rotation like they do some TV, some radio, some just hits around the room, and this room right next to us is where they do those. Pose like little quick video snippets and they're telling each player to scream to get their like emotions up.
When I first heard it, I was like, oh my god, someone hurt themselves.
Yeah,
so
wouldn't be good for media day if you know some kid tears an ACL walking down the hall of the Circa.
That was me yesterday. Actually, I got home and I parked sort of towards the end of the driveway, and I like on the edge, the transition from the driveway to the street, and my left ankle, I was like, oh, watch it. I let out one of those yells, but I'm okay.
Sounds about right.
Sounds of just the injury-prone
sure.
nature. Well, I got a concussion over the weekend. I don't know if you missed the show yesterday, but I started diving on floaties, and I jetted across the pool and hit my head against the side of the pool.
Like a legitimate concussion? You got
I don't know.
Diagnosed?
There was some concern, one from the owner of the house. That's what I would do. Be like, no lawsuit, please.
What, you?
And then I was told – no, it wasn't me. I was it was at another house. Yes. No, and then the SO actually said, she's like, oh, is that why you're out of the pool for a while? Because I did get out of the pool, but I legitimately was cooling off. Like I wasn't shaking, like getting my wits together.
That sounds like a pretty brutal day.
Oh, it was great. Actually, it was. I got a text from out of the market about how hot it was, and I'm like, hot. I had no idea. I was in the pool for like 6 hours. It was beautiful. Do I sound like I'm bragging about some high level of wealth? I'm not wealthy. No, I just
you're mingling with the rich and famous.
I had fun, and I don't think I got a concussion.
Okay.
I'm going to do this organically. I never read your notes. You will text me notes.
Well, I texted them to you right as you were starting to watch, so then you it would have been spoilers.
I also never look at it.
Okay.
Although I should have. To organize the show, I should. But this time I wanted to be organic. I'm going to start at the top. Oh, because you went in order.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's so much good stuff in this.
I keep notes as I watch the show.
There's the coach, player, scout, GM – dynamic. Like the draft stuff was tremendous.
Awesome.
Interviews, we'll get to that. Right off the bat, you get to see behind the scenes when a GM finds out what the cap number is for the coming season. And that seemed really organic. Like the GM of the Giants is like, 255.
Yeah.
Oh, we got more money.
They were preparing.
Call someone
for
up.
It.
He's like, did you see the number?
They were preparing for it to be 240. And it was about $50 million higher than they thought it would be, which then changes the calculus of what you're going to be able to do, because there had been so much talk up to that point of how much can we offer Saquon. I said, well, now we have a little bit more to work with, which ended up meaning that they were able to get Brian Burns instead, but it did give them a little bit more flexibility in case they did maybe want to sign Saquon.
And if you're a Raiders fan, you're going to like – I don't know if they're going to mention it many more times, but Christian Wilkins has popped a lot.
Yeah,
like the Giants – really like him.
Yeah, but in episode one, they kind of took a shot at him in the scouting staff said he's just not an elite pass rusher on third down.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, this last one, they
Which
talked
people
about,
flipped
how,
out about
how great his family was.
Yeah.
What a quality guy he was.
Yeah, how good guy that he was, and maybe the extra $15 million would give them a chance to bid on Christian Wilkins, but if they got Burns or Saquon, then it probably eliminated Christian Wilkins from the possibility.
So you remember the Giants did not take a quarterback. I think that's a story I really want to follow, and we're going to develop this in a second. But when they were talking about the quarterbacks in the draft, I was so glad they mentioned something that they get it, because I don't think there are New York and Boston and Philly organizations in the past that have been run by GMs who got it, because especially the Giants. Jets are a mess. Giants are a better organization. But the Giants have hired some coaches who are absolute dorks who were going to just melt down in the media and what they mention about the quarterback class, what they mention about the market.
Yeah, could guys handle the media?
What they mentioned about Caleb Williams and USC.
That there were some concerns because there was games that he didn't speak to the media afterwards, and how would he handle being in New York?
Outright they said, that's not going to fly here.
Yeah.
Like, you're right.
Yeah.
This ain't Carolina. It ain't Nash Vegas.
Although I will say, when they did end up showing the quarterback interviews, Caleb Williams seemed very impressive.
He was very calm.
Yeah.
He carried himself. He's like,
they're trying to fluster all the quarterbacks. Yep. Everybody's like, hey, just do this, this, and this.
Brian Daboll's job is, I mean, he's trying to see how smart they are and get all that QB lingo out there. But I think he was trying that on Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is like, whatever, bro.
I know this stuff better than you. I'm ready.
Yep.
I thought it was very impressive.
Did JJ McCarthy take himself off the Giant? Let me stop. Did Jim Harbaugh take JJ McCarthy off the Giants board?
Potentially. I don't think he took him off completely, but there was some discussion that, hey, McCarthy did make some of the calls at the line, but a lot of it was called in. And the even bigger concern was that it appeared, and I know it's true, that the center and sometimes the guard for Michigan was calling the offensive line directions and blocks for run plays and not the quarterback. So McCarthy had the chance to overrule those. But for the most part, the line was calling them, which I think was a red flag for the Giants to say, were they just concerned they couldn't handle this, or is this just their standard operating procedure? Why was he not making those calls?
I will remember that forever, because I came out of the draft and I'm like, man, the Giants had multiple opportunities to take J.J. McCarthy, and they chose not to, and they're still in the same position they were before the draft. They decided to go wide receiver. I will never forget that.
Yeah.
Now, they might be right. McCarthy might not turn out, but if he's good – if I'm a Giants fan, I am pissed off. Multiple opportunities to get him. Potential franchise quarterback, and you guys were rotting up over wide receivers.
Well, they had multiple opportunities?
They traded back, right?
No, they took Neighbors.
I thought they went from 6 to 10.
No, they took Neighbors where they were.
Oh, they did. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. So an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't. They loved Neighbors. And I think it's – you already kind of see that there's hints to it a little bit before the combine, and you can see at the combine, like, they were all in.
Adam got sad watching Hard Knocks. We'll explain why in a couple minutes. Ricky White is going to join us in about 15, wide receiver for the Rebels, who had a monster year a year ago and is expected to be very good this year. We'll talk to Ricky about the break, getting ready for the season, and why he's still in Las Vegas.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Circa Las Vegas.
Football. Right, I can't even say it. I'm so excited. Mountain West Conference, media days, coaches tomorrow, players today. We'll have a bunch of the player interviews that we'll play over the next couple of days. UNLV players coming up. Jackson Woodard in the 5 o'clock hour, Ricky White in less than 15. Both are all Mountain West Conference. Very interesting preseason poll. Boise, the number one pick. UNLV, second selection. Mikey Keene, experienced quarterback in the system. And Fresno, number three, Adam. Interesting. How much does a quarterback mean? How much does unpredictability at the position mean? I don't know if Boise is going to be great at quarterback. Right?
A lot of mystery.
Yes. I want to do a giveaway right now. Front Row Card Show, 13th and 14th at the Rio. That's coming up. 450 tables of cards, comics, and collectibles. You get your tickets at frontrowcardshow.com. Griffin's going to hook up someone with two tickets. Caller 7, 364-1100. Two tickets, and you qualify for $200 in Card Show bucks. I knew on Hard Knocks with the Giants that you would just be in heaven watching the action unfold behind the scenes at the Combine in Indianapolis. What do you remember about this last Combine?
I feel attacked right now. I remember that I wasn't there.
I forgot that you didn't go, and I forgot how annoyed you were, and now this is right in your face. It stinks.
It sucks. Seeing everything I missed. I'm just glad they didn't show a whole lot of, like, out in the town. St. Elmo's, oh, it's beautiful. St. Elmo's was tough, but they didn't show like anybody going to, you know, any. If they would have showed like a prime party, oh, disaster, just disaster. I'd have been just devastated.
Highly recommend. We've been talking about it for 15 minutes. Highly recommend watching. You're going to get a lot of behind the scenes stuff and stuff at the combine. The casual talk, the light talk, the fun stuff is interesting. I think the interviews are the best thing on the show. The interviews with the quarterbacks are tremendous. By the way, how about, I don't know, did Daboll say it or was one of the assistants? How about poor Kyle McCord, who is now the quarterback for Syracuse? He'll be coming here to face your Rebels, not sure. yours, but the Rebels with Syracuse. Well, he was the Ohio State quarterback, and they brought in Marvin Harrison, and they were trying to bait Marvin Harrison, like, Look at these throws. That quarterback sucks, doesn't he?
Your quarterback,
why do you say he sucks? And but they were doing it in a subtle fashion, yeah. And Harrison passed the test. He's like, no.
Nah. I mean,
they use some good tactics. Man, I actually there's stuff in the interview process where I was like, man, that's kind of useful.
Yeah, they would like change the subject and then go back to like a hard hitting pop quiz question, like trying to just see if you could transition your thoughts and immediately get right back to a play. Like, it was good. It was. Drawing up a play, having them switch people, and then now what do you call it? Now and then, so how did you feel after this game happened? And he starts, well, you know, I was trying to, what do you call that play? Like, whoa, okay. Just trying to put you under pressure. And, like, I think on the surface you look at it kind of being silly, but in the moment as you're watching it, you say, okay, you understand what they're trying to do and why they're trying to do it this way. And you hear about these things all the time. Like, this is how it goes. But to actually see it in action – is something very different. And I think it was – I don't know how big an audience there is for it. Like, I think most football fans are like, just show me big hits. Like, okay, this is way different than that part of football, but this is my favorite part of football by far.
Interview process, I thought of you and many others who don't speak well of themselves. What would you do, Adam, if someone said, hey, of your writing and radio career and in general – what's your best trait? When they dropped it on one of the receivers, I was like, oh, I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Versatility.
That's good. Yeah. Is that it? You just leave it there?
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, he's pretty pointed on that. Impressive.
Yeah.
He's our pick. Adam's our pick, like, for the radio.
I think
station.
It would be like, good answer. We'll take someone else.
Didn't like that. Wanted a much better answer. Yeah everyone's versatile. Jerk.
Yeah. Everybody says that. Do you mean it? I do, actually. Yeah. I'll do pretty much whatever you ask me. Some of them okay.
It was also interesting, when they were talking to Malik Nabers, he was pretty reserved, and they even mentioned that.
They didn't like it.
Yeah, they didn't like that he wasn't sort of more boisterous.
Like, we expected, you know, I think they said we expected like more of a dog, and he's just a nice kid.
Yeah, He's not a jerk. We want our receivers to come off as jerks.
We want somebody with an edge.
I'll tell you who else was impressive, our hometown guy.
Oh, Roma Dunze was, I thought, the standout of
the
episode. Just, first of all, the willingness to work out, going through the workouts and doing it in an impressive fashion, but then just his maturity, his ability to handle the questions and handle what they were putting him through. They don't put the receivers through quite what they put the quarterbacks through for obvious reasons, and they say that. But, I mean, I thought he handled every question well, kind of crushed it, had – good answers, and he put things in really, like, relatable but also understandable terms, and just answering everything the way you probably want them to answer to it if you were trying to draw it up.
I said last week I didn't love Joe Shane, the GM.
You're back?
No.
Okay.
Nope. I'll tell you what, Brian Daboll is a fascinating guy.
Yeah? I mean, he always kind of has been, and he's been around a lot of different players, a lot of different quarterbacks. He's known for his development of quarterbacks, and
he's not laid back.
No, he's not.
He's confident. And you know what? That's one of those guys, because we have an entire crew here of, we believe, don't judge the book by the cover when it comes to athleticism. We are all big fellas, and Brian Daboll, he would blend right in. He's talking trash. I'll tell you in the 4 o'clock hour what he was talking trash about. I think he's wrong. I think he's dead.
Well, everyone else thought he was wrong also.
Is that right? He got universally crushed?
Well, the whole – everybody in the booth with him was like, no.
But isn't that – that's the – we'll give out the details. I don't want to spoil it. It's so exciting for the 4 o'clock hour. Ricky White's on the way.
What's up? It's Tyler Bischoff from the Press Box. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we will be live from the Circa for Mountain West Media Days, where UNLV was picked to finish second in the Mountain West. Can they actually go on and win the Mountain West title this season? Plus, we'll get into the Aces. They play the Seattle Storm, a battle for seeding in the WNBA. And can the Golden Knights actually win a Stanley Cup with their roster? All of that is coming up tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Circa Las Vegas, day one of the Mountain West Conference Football Media Days. Giveaway right now. Got a big softball game coming up, charity softball game. VGK and the Raiders, two all-star teams with those two squads. VGK led by Jack Eichel. Some wild card entrants. I'll tell you about that in a second. But right now, two tickets, 364-1100, caller 7. Game's on Saturday, fifth annual Battle for Vegas charity softball game. It's brought to you by Tobin Motor Cars. You can get your tickets at battleforvegas.com. 364-1100, caller 7 for a pair of tickets. Griffin is going to hook you up. So just a little while ago, Adam Hill and I sat down with UNLV receiver Ricky White. Monster year last season, and he's a competitive guy, man, and he's going to be part of this. He's one of the wild cards. He's going to be part of this celebrity softball game on Saturday. We got into his softball background, but we started out with the obvious. Why are you participating in the game this Saturday?
I really want to go to, you know, build connections. A lot of people, you know, I could talk to and, you know, just learn things, you know, outside of, you know, sports, but life, period. Now I feel like it's a lot of people that's going to be there, you know, that I can gain knowledge from. So I'm thankful to be able to play in this game. I've gotten told that there have never been like a college player ever participate in this event. So, you know, it's always been professional athletes. So, you know, I'm thankful to be in this event.
Can you play softball?
It's actually crazy. I've never played a lick of baseball, softball, anything. So.
Well, are you, I wonder if all the networking games, if you don't succeed. Or
hold on. Wait a minute. You just missed. You just missed that, Steve.
I'm an athlete, though.
Here's where we go out there and try.
We give it a try.
Are you familiar with Nate Hobbs?
I am not.
So he's a cornerback for the Raiders.
Okay.
Last year, he kind of said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm an athlete. He took a fly ball off the face, missed the start of training camp.
Oh, snap.
Don't play outfield. Just tell him you're DH.
Yeah.
The season's coming
or
up.
Catch the ball to the side. It's tricky.
Yeah. We're going to give it a try, though, man. I'm going out there confident, of course.
You do have good hands.
Yes, sir. So, going to be fun.
I would swing a bat at some point this week. Get in the cage or something.
I'm going to talk to baseball team coach at UNLV. Try to get some swing practices in this week. So, help me prepare for the event.
So you mentioned, you know, just taking advantage of these opportunities, right? Yeah. And I think it's obviously a very smart thing to do. It's very interesting. I feel like, I could be wrong, I think I saw you at the SAC Summit.
Yes, sir.
Out on the field. Yes, what sir. Was that like? Because that's obviously not what you do. Right. But I guess, what do you gain from being around some of those NFL greats that are on your field?
So much knowledge. Like, those are people that was on the field are greats. You know, they're soon to become Hall of Famers. So, you know, and I feel like as a DN, they use the same moves as a receiver coming off the ball, using hands, all the things is, you know, can relate to receivers, receiver work, you know, versus man press coverage or anything. So I was just blessed, you know, soaking up knowledge from some of the greats, you know, and I can't ask for a better opportunity to be there.
Yeah, it seemed like you were kind of hanging out around the outskirts, kind of looking, watching everything. Did you get a chance to talk to anybody out there?
I did. I got a chance to talk to some of the people. Max Crosby was one. Sat Warren, Hall of Famer. Yeah. I got a chance to speak with him. So, like I said, I just got a chance to, you know, soak up some of the knowledge that, you know, they were speaking, because a lot of the things they do translate to receiver work.
For sure. You know, it's interesting. I'm sure you haven't seen it yet because it just came out last night. But the Receiver documentary on Netflix.
I can't
Netflix.
Wait to go home and watch
so,
it. I can't wait.
I'm a psycho. Yeah. I watched it. It came out at 12:01.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole thing last night.
Oh, that's crazy.
I really haven't slept yet today, which is good. But what you were just saying about defensive ends, there's actually a big part. It's probably like a 10-minute segment of the documentary about that.
Okay.
Where Devontae Adams and Max Crosby are talking about the get off, like the separation at the line of scrimmage.
I actually just seen that clip on Twitter. Yes, sir.
It is similar, right? I mean, I guess just along those lines, like what do you take a guy like Devontae Adams living in this town,
right,
playing in the same stadium that you play in,
right,
like, I guess, what do you take from what he does and kind of seeing that similarity of the same thing defensive ends do too?
It's crazy that you say that. So this all past offseason, I've watched a lot of film on Devontae Adams and Justin Jefferson. I feel like those are two of the greatest receivers in the NFL right now. They do such a great job of just playing the game, you know, and at a high level. They're very smart. I feel like they have a plan before and after they catch the ball, which is very great at the receiver position. They have great awareness, great separation, great hands, you know, and they just make plays after they catch the ball, like I said. So, I feel like, you know, DN and receiver have comparisons and, you know, the way that they work and coming out the ball, like you said, is the same thing as coming out the ball as a receiver.
Ricky White joins us, who I will give away was my vote for Offensive Player of the Year in the Mountain West Conference coming into this season. I'm going to explain this question, but I'm just going to ask it simply. Why are you here? And I don't mean here at the Circle. Why are you still at UNLV? Because a lot of people said, no chance you're coming back. Great season.
Right.
You could go pro. You could transfer anywhere you want to. So opportunities out there. Why are you here?
So for one, it's one unfinished business. When we got all the way to the championship game to not finish, you know, and I want to help my team in each and every way that I can, you know, to help them win that game, championship game, in each and every game on our schedule. I'm not really chasing NIL. That's the last thing, you know, on my mind. I'm really wanting to perfect my craft, because if I know if I do that, then when I get to the next level, unlimited money is in the income. So I've never been a person to chase money, and I want to do better as a person on and out the field. So perfecting my craft was the main objective in, you know, staying here. And like I said, we have one of the best coaching staff in the nation, from our head coach to assistant coaches to strength and conditioning coach and even, you know, academic advisor. Shout out to David Whaley, man. He does a tremendous job at just, you know, preparing us for school, man. So I can't ask for a better university, a better, you know, support system and resources here in Las Vegas.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from the next level? What do they want to see? You did everything on the field.
Right.
You're an incredible player, right, obviously, and had a lot of highlights, had a lot of production, everything else. What do they want to see from you?
So I got a lot of input from some scouts. So really just coming out the ball, my drive phase, separation, top of the route things, which are very manageable and easy to fix, you know, over, you know, a certain amount of months. So, and that's what all I've been working on. I just want to give them everything that they ask to see. So this upcoming season, you know, on the first receiver taken off the board, and it's known that I'm the best receiver in college football.
Ricky White's with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. Cofield and company, Adam Hill, is here at Circa. I want to talk about the quarterbacks in the mix this year as you develop relationships. But I do have to go back to last year, because I've been telling the market over and over again that you guys can be really good this year, but let's not underestimate what Jaden Maiyaba did.
Right.
And, you know, you wished him well. I thought you handled that really well as it was going back and forth. Quarterback's really important.
No, it's very important.
And last year, a lot of the season was made on you making deep catches and him putting the ball there. And that's not easy. And I think the one I think back to is the Vanderbilt game, where you are running down the field, and that thing was like stuck. It was a great catch. It was stuck right on your hip in stride.
Right.
I just want to talk about like how good he was, especially on the deep ball.
And right.
People shouldn't take that for granted.
Man, he was so young, but he was such a great player. Like the more he learns, is go get scared. He has that Caleb Williams, that first overall draft pick ability. Like that's the type of player he is. He's very smart, has very good pre-snap awareness. And man, the sky's the limit for that kid. And I still talk to him to this day. I actually just worked out with him last Friday. So we still have that connection, that bond. You know, that's my brother to the end. So I thank him.
So we talked to Brennan Marion yesterday and, you know, talking go-go offense. And I certainly don't know the offense like he does or you do, but I anticipate more stuff on the edge, throwing options on the edge where you have a triple threat from the quarterback, because both Haj Malik and Sluka can get outside.
And Cam Friel
can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change things for you? Is it going to be a little bit different in the offense where it's just not chucking it from the pocket to you, where, you know, the offense is going to be on the move left or right?
Well, I would say it's a mixture of all. Our offense is so unique. You know, it's very unseen in college football, and you see a lot of, you know, NFL teams copying our plays and everything because it's very special. It's a very special offense. You can move a lot of players in different positions to, you know, throw off defensive schemes and everything. So it's, we got a scary offense with speed and everything. Like, it's a lot of things you're going to be able to see this past upcoming season that's, you know, that you didn't see last year.
A lot of guys to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Defenses to go. We're going to double Ricky White, right? Man,
and you can't do that because we got other great receivers on the opposite side of me, plus backs that's going to open up the passing game, a quarterback. So it's hard to defend all angles of the go-go offense.
There he is, Ricky White. That's just part of the conversation. We'll play another part tomorrow where we get into this EA college football thing. We knew it would be hardcore with the current players. I didn't know how many UNLV players would be into it, but apparently there's a lot that are into it, and Ricky is very much into it. And we're going to talk to Jackson Woodard a little later on about a similar topic. Want to remind everyone, we're giving away more trips. The Summer of Fun is back at Lotus Broadcasting. It's brought to you by our friends at Planet Nissan. Each day we give out a code word of the day. All you got to do is text it in to 702-364-1100. And you're in. You're in. This week's trip is a cowboy adventure in Alpine, Wyoming. You're going to get fly fishing, horseback riding. You're staying at the Rockin' M Ranch for 5 nights. Hell of a trip. You just got to text it in, the code word 702-364-1100. Code word today is wine, W-I-N-E, wine. Text it in, 702-364-1100. What's going on?
There's two wines.
What does that mean?
There's two versions of the word wine. Make sure it's the one that you drink.
I just said.
I know, but I'm saying to people out there, just make sure it's the one that you drink.
I mean, we've had a lot of spelling issues. I'm not sure if they qualify with poor spelling or not. Just text it in, 702-364-1100, wine. By the way, we'll have full versions of the Ricky White interview up a little later tonight after the show. And one other thing we did hit on, because we were talking there about the quarterback race between Matthew Sluka, Holy Cross transfer, Haj Malik Williams in. He was in the spring from Campbell. And Cameron Friel, who, if you remember, in the COVID year was actually the offensive freshman of the year in the Mountain West Conference. And then he's battled for the job, had some injuries in years after that. He's still around. And I'll just tell you, we followed up with Ricky White on like why he mentioned Cam Friel, because every time I mention the quarterbacks to anyone, they're always like, Cam Friel. They throw him in there. And you know why, right?
He's still there.
Well, that, and he's provided a really important service to the program.
Sure.
He's filled a special role.
But I think still there.
Yep.
That's what I mean. I mean, he's been there through a lot of different things, through coaching changes, everything else, and been there and has the experience and has been willing to share that.
Yep. And I'm telling you, last year, I'm not saying Jade Maiava doesn't happen to the level of success that he achieved. But part of it was Cam Friel, fellow Hawaiian, mature. Friel's different than Maiava. He is stoic. Like, he never changes expressions. And I'm not saying because Maiava would get a little up and down, but there were so many times last year if Maiava had some trouble on the field where he'd come off the field, Friel would walk up to him, just look him in the eye, hold his shoulder, and be like, it's going to be okay. And look how it worked out, right? And that's why they love Cam Friel in the program.